Chapter 1. To the Winter Palace. The train swung round a long curve between high wooded hills and a wide river. Dusk was falling, thickened by flurries of snowflakes. Catherine Eyre stared out at those swirling flakes, spinning down like dark flies against the lighter sky, and then, as they hit the glass, showing white before they melted.
"Thousands and thousands," murmured Catherine, staring upwards. "Thousands and millions."
Then her eye was caught by lights ahead, a beehive of yellow lights, and she saw spires and steep roofs, the smoky cutout of a city piled high above the bending, steely river.
"Miss Lacey, look," Catherine said. "We're coming to a town."
Her governess woke with a start, and then jumped up and began to marshal her luggage.
"It must be Felsenburgh," she said. "Dear me, it seems no time since we crossed the frontier. But then it is a small state. Letzenstein is very small."
The train began to slow down. It was an express, which had carried them from Belgium and was going down to Strasbourg and more important places than the little country of Letzenstein, an independent state in this year of 1847, soon to become 1848, for they had reached the last days of December. Ever since the momentous letter from the Grand Duke had arrived in Kent, Miss Lacey had been reading about Letzenstein and telling Catherine about it. And she was interested because it was her mother's country. The letter was written in French, and great-aunt Anne Eyre said she had forgotten all her French, so Miss Lacey had read it for them, translating as she went. She became quite pink with excitement, and her spectacles misted over. "The Grand Duke wishes to see his granddaughter Catherine," Miss Lacey had announced. "He has lost his son and heir, and wishes to see his daughter's child. One might almost say he commands her presence." Catherine looked over her governess's shoulder and saw the black firm signature. "Edmund Valdemar." Miss Eyre gave a little snort.
"He has never taken any notice of Catherine's existence till now. I do not know whether she should be allowed to go."
Miss Lacey looked far more disappointed than Catherine, who, though she had often wished something interesting would happen, did not much care for the idea of going to visit a grandfather who was a Grand Duke and wrote letters in French. Catherine's mother, Teresa, had been the only daughter of this Grand Duke of Letzenstein, and he'd been so angry when she ran away with a young English officer that he had refused to have anything more to do with her. Captain Eyre was posted to India, and in India Catherine herself had been born, almost exactly 13 years ago, for her birthday was on the 1st of January. Then the captain and his princess had both died of cholera, and Catherine was brought back to England and taken to live with the captain's aunt, Miss Anne Eyre, who had a small Georgian house in Kent, about 10 miles from Canterbury. Catherine could not remember her parents. All her life had been lived in Kent, a quiet life, cared for by Sibby, a comfortable countrywoman, and later taught by Miss Lacey, the clever but poor daughter of a clergyman. Catherine was unused to company and shy, but she was quite happy, making up stories and drawing illustrations for them, or playing with Pins, her cat. Pins had a twin, Needles, who had gone to live at the village inn with Sibby's married sister. Catherine invented stories about their contrasting lives, Needles, the Cockney stable cat, and Pins, the gentleman of leisure. In the end, Miss Eyre had decided that Catherine ought to visit her grandfather, since he was, after all, a Grand Duke, even if his country was so small that few people had heard of it. Once, Letzenstein had been part of the Holy Roman Empire, and it was still more closely connected with the German states than with France. Miss Eyre felt too old to travel, but she had every confidence in Miss Lacey, and so there had been a great bustle of packing, and as soon as Christmas was over, they crossed the Channel and took the express from Ostend. And now, here they were, running into the station at Felsenburgh, the capital city, indeed the only city of Letzenstein. They were met by official gentlemen, packed into a carriage with fur rugs and driven off, up steep streets to the palace. Peering out into a lamplit dusk, Catherine saw high gabled roofs, windows with wooden shutters,